Good evening, everybody. It is Wednesday night. It's the continuation of The Hidden Work by E.J. Gold. We're on chapter 14, and we're on. This is our eighth round, I think, of chapter 14. Mm. It's slightly less than infinite, but just. And we have a ways to go. Now, last week we had a presentation by... let's refer then to page 149, and we'll see that on page 149 there are seven celestial choirs that are indicated, and those choirs are now hard at work at putting together various presentations. Last week we had a presentation from the third choir, the angel, Archangel Anahel, that consisted of Susan. Susan, I don't know if you're on, but Kathleen or Vadir was there, and Ivan. Ivan's in Germany tonight, so he won't be joining us.
Well, I hope he's in Germany listening to us.
He should. It's only 4 in the morning there. My goodness gracious.
That would be
anyway,
a lot of fun.
So they had a presentation. And what I wanted to do is take this week to go over some of the highlights of the chapter and also to discuss where you are on the other choirs that are about to come along, where you are in your work, and do you need any help? What structures are you finding? And what was the result of, if anything, do you remember the presentation from the prior week? Is the deer on, Dan? Oh, you're cycling in. Okay. So what I'd like to do then, M.A., can you read it, start us with a header on chapter 14, please?
Oh, sure. Angelic choirs. Angel training is a method of drawing down the higher mental, emotional, and moving postures from one of the angelic beings who is already in the work, so that by observation we may practice these work methods and form an angelic work identity with one of them.
So read that first line again.
Angel training is a method of drawing down the higher.
So it's a method of drawing down the higher.
Mm-hmm, the higher.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And as we read through the chapter, what we find out is that there's a number of techniques that the author gives us to help us find our way to do that, because at the face of it, we're not a group that this project isn't one that says, and when we're done, you're going to really believe in angels. You know, that's not what we're doing here. We're not trying to find a way that, you know, suddenly you're going to believe in angels and things like that. What we want to do is to create a groundwork so that actual angelic work can be done. But each of us discovered it on their own. Individuals have said, gosh, I've done this and this, but I've never seen an angel. I've never experienced an angel. Well, part of what we need to do is to cleanse our mind from the concept of the Walt Disney angel or the angels that we had on all the postcards that we got when we were young Christians. And I don't know that the way the angels work is this guardian angel standing over the little children out in the wilderness. Maybe it works like that. I don't know. But that's not what we're kind of doing here. Once again, we're doing what?
Angel training.
And we draw down.
The higher.
We're trying to draw down the higher. My goodness, what an unusual phrase, huh? And... Now, the credibility comes from the point of view is that a lot of the work that this author has done, if you read Practical Work on Self, if you read Life in the Labyrinth, you're going to see some utterly pragmatic methodology of how to do spiritual work and spiritual cleansing. And so now he ventures into this whole other area. He says, okay, now we're going to talk about angels and archangels. Okay, so if we can suspend judgment enough and just proceed with this as a process and see what happens. Susan, are you on?
Yes, can you hear me?
Now I can.
Yes.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Derek.
And is Badir on? She's not on, okay. So I posed a question to the third. So the third choir last week gave a presentation, and on the site I put up the materials that they read from. And Susan, I'd like you to go through that if you get a chance on wingsofchaos.com. Make sure I uploaded the right version, because I know it was changing a lot right there at the end, okay?
It looks from the basic, from the first overview, it looks like the right one. The right file name.
Okay. And you'll also have a chance to read the closing prayer of the opening of the invocation, as well as listen to Vidir do it, because there's an audio file up there for her. And
I did not see the audio file.
Pardon?
I did not see the audio file up there.
Okay. I'm pretty sure. I know I think I uploaded it.
I saw the written log, but not the audio file.
Well, maybe I was thinking of doing it.
You're going to have to think harder.
I'll think harder? Okay. Thank you. I'll work on that as well.
Think out loud.
And that's some of their work material that they put together. And then I was so moved by the class, I sent an email out to them and I said, gosh, what do you want to do now? And they said, well, I want to continue because I feel like I've just scratched the surface. But there was the feeling that they did scratch the surface. So what does that mean in regards to, once again, the first line? Which is, angel training is bringing down the energies of the higher influences, right?
I definitely felt that they did that last week. It was very powerful here in the studio. I don't know if people online.
Yes, it came through.
And these two individuals were not physically here, and
mm-hmm.
they're saying that yes, it did come through.
Yeah.
That's good feedback. So a little bit later, we're going to go over the kind of an outline of the format that they use that might help other groups too. But the individuals were touched by it, as I was, and want to study the angel for another period of time, because two of the individuals caught a definite whiff of that, what that angel is, and once you do that, you're compelled, in a sense, to follow it, because there's more there. And if we look at the concept of the seven angelic choirs, there's not one, there's not like just a bunch of angels. There's seven angelic choirs holding seven angelic posts. These are posts that are of great significance. And so you start looking around for something like, what does this angel Haniel, where does he hang out? First of all, what is that third hall, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you read this stuff and it doesn't make any sense. There's something about heaven, there's hell, there's Garden of Eden, there's this west wind, there's some wind. What is all that? These aren't things that are just made up. These are things, in a sense, that a scribe recorded during the process of the invocation of that angel. That's what happened. It wasn't just some guy thought it up in his brain. These are individuals who actually experienced it and then took the time to record it. So they were in this space and they look around and they go, okay, this space is called I Am. I am the lamp in the night. I am that which is Hanael. And if that's the case, what do you discover in that environment? So each group winds up becoming a scouting group. You know, it's a scouting group. You're going to go out and scout into the realm called Raphael, or scout into this thing called Michael. Oh my God, you know, and then bring something back. And hopefully some of it is going to be fresh material, but it's hopefully going to be shared from the point of view that we've been working with in the context of the work of the fourth way, of the lineage that E.J. Gold is working from. Because then, for me, then it becomes an utterly pragmatic concept. It's a very, very pragmatic, this idea of... it becomes a method of drawing down the higher mental, emotional, and moving postures from one of the angelic beings. And as Silverdale pointed out to us a few weeks ago, that, of course, those three elements correspond to the first parts of prayer absolute. And if that's the case, then there is a direct correspondence to prayer absolute. That's what this book is about, okay? And on page 145 at the first paragraph there, it says, the first necessity for the production of prayer absolute is to set apart special chambers for the directing and outpouring of higher force from its great reservoir, which descends to our world through invocational circles, bringing down to this dimension the presences of higher beings responsible for the manifestation of influential forces descending from higher dimensions, from whom we can learn the work by observation of their methods, which is to say a slow process of influence through intentional radiation. So how do we become a proper host such that we invite, in a sense, we invite that? Well, we got to put a little something into it, right? Doesn't it make sense? I mean, we have to give something to it. Like we have to put in the work
to be open to it.
Say it again, Susan.
You have to be open to it.
And you have to be open to it. You have to be open to the possibility of it. And to allow the influence to potentially be around.
I think it is more of a passive than an active, because we're not in their realm. We're not in the realm of the angels. So we don't know what they need. So we can't really presume to insert ourselves into their world. We have to allow, we have to make it so to invite them into our world.
So we have to become like superior at the art of hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
We have to perform the rite of hospitality on an angelic level. So what would that be?
Well, I came across something that I read, and it says...
Hang on one second.
Okay, so Tamara is saying, Susan, just a second, because Tamara was saying something here in the studio. Could you say that again, Tamara?
Well, one of the things you have to do is to be...
One of the things that you have to be willing is to drop your
subjective and emotional postures and to quiet, become quiet.
So that's part of the process of being willing,
yes.
As Susan's saying. Go ahead, Susan.
Well, you were saying you also have to be ready, and I read something I came across. It said you have to be careful when you're invoking angels because you're poking around, and then you actually perform your invocation, and then the angels want to know what you want.
Because it might work.
I mean, they might be like, okay, so now I'm here, and
what do you want? So that's part of the preparation work. That's why we do this study, as it says, I think, right there in the middle of that page 148. You know, you want to read that where it says...
study everything.
Yeah.
Study everything that you are able to find out about them, and by mimicry of their individual characteristics and unique attributes, draw them down over yourself until you feel yourself to be under their influence, while at the same time divesting yourself of all the usual manifestations of your own machine, its behavior, thoughts, and emotions. Can I say something about the archangels that that I have studied so far? They all seem to have, they're said to have influence over certain days. They're said to have influence over certain minerals, over certain colors, over certain portions of the sky. Over, you know, there's a myriad of things that they're partial to. So I was thinking of their, you know, if it's a particular stone that they're that they're interested in, then we can add those to our grab bag of things that we want to use to draw down that particular angel.
What is the day for Raphael? Do you happen to know? Go ahead. And there's the signs of the probably,
correspondences is what they're talking about.
Correspondence. So each of those correspondence has a vibratory effect. So if we put our way, in a sense, put ourselves in the way of that particular vibratory effect. Now, one of the things, and Susan, you might find this interesting, that was suggested to me was that, and I think you even suggested this a couple of times, is that, well, let me ask everybody. Some people said that maybe it would have been helpful to email certain things to individuals, like the symbolism and the lamp, which I find really evocative. Of Haniel that you did, Susan?
Yeah.
That we should have, I should have emailed that out to everybody first, and then they print it out, and they put that in their altar space, their reading space that they're doing this class from. In addition, you could, and Harry and Tamara might, everybody, you might want to say, suggest a particular incense, and that you get that incense, and you have that incense working for you in the space that you're watching from.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you do have some of these crystals. Maybe your angel is associated with amethyst, and you want to, so you say to our class, put a piece of amethyst on your altar, and maybe it's a color, blue. And you say, okay, put a blue light or a blue candle or something like that. And so that
wear blue.
You wear blue.
Yeah.
Beautiful thought. So that you set the space that corresponds. Now, why would you do that? Well, each color is a unique vibration, because that's all color is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vibration. Mm-hmm. These colors are specific vibrations. Stones, I got into stones for a while. Each stone, in particular the crystalline stones, really have a particular vibratory effect. It's really interesting. And for me, I'm very partial to incense, particular types of incense, and very much to color. So you set that, and that sets a particular set of vibratory sensations, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that happens to correspond to your angel, wouldn't there be the potential then of a vibratory effect? It's like you're then hosting that angelic being to come down. So that's one way to do it. It's one way we can work with each other. But here's the days and how they respond. Sunday, of course, Michael took Sunday. Gabriel has Monday. Tuesday is Kamiel. Ah, okay. Wednesday is Raphael. Zachiel, which might be Sandalphon, I don't know.
Zachiel is listed as the sixth. In the sixth. Oh,
okay. Well, okay, and then Friday is Anahel. And then I guess it's Kasiel is Saturday.
Yeah, Kasiel would be the seventh.
Yeah, hang on.
What about Sandalphon then?
Well, I'm not sure which one is Sandalphon. Michael is Monday. Sunday. Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Gabriel is Monday. What is the name? Zebuel? Zebuel? Zebul, is that one of the?
I don't think so.
George, do any of those names correspond to Sandalphon?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, me either. Do you know if Sand? Do you recall if Sandalphon has a particular?
Zeburiel is in the seventh choir.
And that is who's the
Kasiel.
Yeah.
Zebuiel. Is that it?
Yeah, no.
You know, it sounds to me like some Englishman went to some Muslim country and began to write down names without knowing who he was talking about.
That's right. Yeah.
David, there is a lot of variation in these tables of correspondences I found.
Yeah. So
some people have Raphael on Sunday, others Mikael. There's a lot of variation depending on which writer you're studying.
Online today, by typing in Google, I put one of our other sub-angels that we're doing, which was, let's see, who did I put in? Pashdiel, P-A-C-H-D-I-A-L. And then I put an angel. And I got a very interesting references that from an Archon, A-R-C-H-A-N publishing company. And that was they had a whole list of correspondences as well. So that's another something you might want to look at.
Okay. Very good.
But I think it's sort of like the tarot. There's kind of a general consensus over time, but then there's been variations also as it's gone through as to who is ruling over which day and, you know, colors and all that type of thing.
So bring forth, but so basically, if you have something that you want me to mail out to everybody, I can do that. That's the point. You have to get it to me early, like 2 or 3 days before the class. I was very delinquent in getting the email out this week. I just sent it out early this morning or during the day today. But so if when you're doing your presentation, if you would like me to send something like, Harry, I know you're going to be doing a particular prayer. If you would like me to send that out to everybody, let me know. Okay?
I believe that Tamara should have it by Friday or Saturday morning.
Okay. Good.
Depends on how fast UPS is.
So you're going to be, that's for Raphael, which is in 2 weeks. And then in 3 weeks, maybe Michael can go. Would you guys like to commit to that?
Yeah. I think we should.
I think it sounds like they're there. They're ready. They're anxious. 3 weeks, okay. That would be, that's going to be like the 30th, I think. Is it the 24th? Is that when you're going to do it, or is it 23rd? They're going to be 23rd, so the 30th will be Michael. And is Sandalphon ready to come out of its out of the closet in a week or two there, George?
I think we are. Guillermo and I had a good conversation, and I think we have something put together.
Good. So if you guys would like to meet over the weekend, I'd be happy to meet with you to have a second set or a third set of eyes looking at it.
Okay.
Okay. And the same thing goes for the two of you guys. If you'd like to send me something that I should send out to the group, then I'll do that so they have it as part of their tool chest, in a sense, to help with the invocation. Might be very interesting. Okay, so next week, Sandalphon shows up and all he's the tall angel. He can get through the door.
I heard about him being tall.
Yeah. He's big.
Would you say 8 feet? He might be bigger than 8 feet. Maybe like 50 feet.
David, I read that Sandalphon was as tall as the entire creation. That's pretty tall.
He's as tall as the entire creation.
That's a big boy. Yeah,
that's,
he's a big boy.
That's a big boy, I'll tell you. So each of these then, so the way I look at it is, you know, I had a group years and years ago called, we call ourselves the Philosopher's Stone, and we had little groups within that group, and we go out to different groups. This is in L.A. decades ago when my hair color was different. And they'd go out into, we'd go to different groups and see what would happen. And just go, not saying we're from this or that, or we didn't have a particular slant. And then they'd bring their data back to the host group. That's what we're doing here. The Haniel group brought us into a certain tenor, you know, by a tenor of, so we could look at something in a different manner. So we'll get treated to different landscapes over the next few weeks. And then when we're done with that, what I'd like to do is have everybody put on their observation hats. Because what does it say toward the end there of the chapter? It says, you already know how to observe your human biological machine, and what is it like, and what is it, how does it work? So when you are in the influence of one of the angels, the concept is to observe what it's like under that influence. That's part of the work we're supposed to do here. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Someone can observation, find, something find about the, observation?
Find the paragraph in the chapter here. So when these individuals put in the work that they're doing and they create the invocation, yeah, we enter into the invocation, but part of our job as voyagers is to what's going on in my machine? What does it feel like? What are the sensations? And that's part of the homework that we do, and we're doing that for each other. We're doing that for the group here. Group work. The form of group work. I was talking to somebody today, and they said that when they were in the intense, they were very embarrassed and had a lot of guilt, because when they were in a particular intense invocation, they kept falling asleep. And as somebody used to tell me, they would describe that in that circumstance of going into the white light. And so the physical body fell asleep, but the individual came away with that impression of the invocational space. They went away with it anyway. It was imprinted. Nothing is lost. We have precious few moments to spend on this planet. And we have the great opportunity of being in a human biological machine, and we get to do something with it. We get to practice this thing called the transformational effect. And the tools are all here. If we read the works of, George will tell us a lot about Gurdjieff and his material, and then this phase that I'm in, I'm working with the works of presented by E.J. Gold, and the technology there is so appropriate. It's a pretty good opportunity. We have an opportunity to express our gratitude back to the Absolute for allowing us to do this form of work. So, what else? What other questions? Here's my suggestion as to a format.
Okay, Tamara was just asking the question. Is there a space for information, or is it strictly invocational? Is there a space for information? And David was just going to answer that.
And the answer is that you weave together both. And I don't want to influence anybody that's already put their stuff together, okay? But on the other hand, if we talk a little bit about invocation, there's an opening to the invocation. Now, my role will be the transit from the street, because we all come to this class from the street. We're all out in the world. And then we come to the class. And we had a class a few months ago or a year ago or so, or something, where I asked everybody what they did. And the people really do certain things. They prepare their space. And the point is that, is Path to World on?
Yeah,
she'll know what I'm talking about. So you wind up preparing the space. I'm going to help people come from that, the street, and help us get ready to open, to be ready for the invocation to open. All right? So it's kind of like the beginning of it. But then some people open it up with maybe a prayer or a statement or a tone or something that basically is a demarcation. Says, now we're in it. Could be a chant, something like that. And so now we're at that point, then the two large pieces of information that you should consider in your presentation would be the information about what is the hall. Now, it's an interesting thing, because when you're describing it, if you describe it in third person, like, and Haniel, he is here, 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 and here, that's one way of doing it. But if you say, I, Anahel, am in the third chamber, the third hall of heaven, and in the third hall of heaven, there is heaven, there is hell. I am the guardian of the Garden of Eden. So if you start to personalize it like that, that's a method of invocation, of the invoking this and drawing down, like we have in that very first sentence there, drawing down that. So if you're brave enough to do that, to say, I am, and then the second part would be, I am Hanael. Hanael is this, and these are the characteristics of the angel. So the angel's hanging out in a hall, and is, has some characteristic. Those are the two main things that I'm hoping will get communicated to the group. Those two things. And yeah, that will be somewhat, that will be informational, no question about it. How you present the information is up to the flair of the group, how it is. And then I very much appreciate the fact that there was the transition and transit space that Vidir gave us, which was an actual prayer to her particular angel. And that particular choir then presented that prayer. And then that choir did something very unique that was real interesting to me. They said, okay, now our angel does something, and our angel does something called, what is your true self? And then, because by that time, and there'll be little nudges, but by that time, the group is in that space. So from that space, you're providing an opportunity for individuals to speak from that space. Does that make sense? Of course it does. It's just like that. So that's the service we're providing to our fellow voyagers. Come on, here's Raphael. Here's what Raphael does. He's like this guy. He's like a guide and all this stuff. Or something like that. And then when you're there, then speak. Now that you are there, now that you've been invited into that space, speak a word or two. That's not the reaction to it. It's, can you speak from that space? Because if we can speak from that invocational space, who is doing the speaking? Right? Who actually is doing the speaking? We are in the acquiescence of surrender at that moment. And in that surrender to that higher space, this act of surrender, of acquiescence, when we're in that, then we are speaking on behalf of and in from the space of that angel. That's the point. I see it a lot as we're giving that angel an opportunity to walk the earth for a moment. We're opening a particular door, and that door is a door that we open up through our own efforts and through the effort, as Susan said, to being open to it. There's a lot of effort she put in to being open to it. It wasn't just like, oh, I think I'll be open to it. She worked very hard.
Well, I would like to add how nice it is having our class. So now we've broken into smaller groups, and by the effort I put into Haniel, I all of a sudden get to learn about five different angels.
Right.
For the price of one.
Nice.
So I'm really excited to hear the other presentations.
As I am, too. And don't forget, the experiment I had, and this came to me early on, when we were back a couple of chapters, was let everybody pick. I didn't put people into classes. Mm-hmm. Everybody individually said what angel they wanted to be in. And it formed these remarkable groups that are like little subgroups that are working together, and it's just really kind of cool.
Well,
So, yeah, we get to look behind the veil. What about if you want to have music? Can we have music playing during this class?
Our group is planning on doing that, David.
So what we can have, as Tamara is indicating, they've made a specific CD that's, I'm hoping that's background music. Okay, that is background music. That can be played. It'll be at a low volume, but it'll be a part of the invocation, so we'll hear it.
Yes.
Turn down the light, if that's something. We can't do the colored lights. Well, yeah. It might be the enough ambience, though. So if you want to have music, let's just say that there's a particular music that EJ's recorded that you'd like it to play. You'll have to tell me early on, because then I'll ask Marvette to find it, and then I think maybe Dan can control. Can you control the music? Yeah, Dan, he can help us, so we can just play that music at whatever volume you think is appropriate. That sets a certain tone. Maybe we'll have a little bit of lights here.
Do we know the color of the next presentation? Of the next presentation?
Sandalphon, do you have a color that you would like to suggest?
Not offhand, David. I'll have to talk to Simon Templar.
Okay. Are there any other questions? By the way, there's questions, just tell me. Do you want to read that discussion, Susan? Is it?
It's from, I mean, there's not a lot there, and it's from quite early in the class.
Okay.
But let's see. Simon,
that's okay.
Saying how it draws down their modalities onto us. Pianjo said last week was very powerful online, surprisingly so.
Good.
It seems their efforts have prompted a clear angelic response, a unique energetic signature. Thanks to the third choir and their work. Simon agreed with MA that we don't know what the angels want. And he said that he agrees with the passivity.
Uh-huh, okay.
MA was talking about.
So I guess part of it is, if you want me to send something around, in a method, something that you want the other invocants to do, that's within reason, you know, send it around and I can send that to everybody. Now I'm going to be sending it to everybody. Go ahead, Susan.
Well, there's a question from Silverdale and Simon. You thinking they heard they're on next week?
Yes.
So the answer, you guys, is yes, you are on for next week.
Yes, Sandalphon, they've been ready for years now.
Is that true?
And then
Tiandra's saying, the second choir will be on the 23rd.
That's right.
Which is close to the feast day of Raphael, if not the same day.
Praise of Raphael, you bet. Did I hear something there, George?
And then the fourth choir will be the 30th.
That's right. People apparently travel all the way to Armenia to try to get data on Michael, is my understanding.
So, David?
Yes?
Can you clarify for Simon and Silverdale when their project will be?
1 week from tonight, they will be doing the presentation.
David, I think we can handle that.
Look at that.
Right.
That's good. That sounds like sandal fun to me.
Yeah.
Boom. particularly Simon, you know, Simon, you have quite a background in music too. So once again, if you want something musical, you have to let me know early on so I can get it set up.
And there's also a question if anyone knows if sandalphon has been associated with the color. I know Haniel is associated with the emerald green, but I don't know any of the other.
That might be something to Google like I did today. You put the sandalphon and then you put the word A-N-D and you capitalize A-N-D. And then you put angel and see what you get. I got a great reference today.
All right.
So that might be the way to access the same one I got. But when I get home and I get that information back, I can send it to David and he can send it around. I did send a link to him today.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So he could send that link around if you guys don't find it.
There's a spell for the use of a magic carpet. I'm just kind of like thumbing through and seeing I can offhand see the color, but I'm not making any difference. I don't want to hold everybody up.
Simon says turquoise is the color for sandalphon.
Okay. There you go.
Sandalphon. Is that his name? I always wondered if it was sandalphon or some of their pronunciation.
We'll find out.
Sandalphon.
Some people say tomato and some people say tomato.
I like sandalphon.
Some people say tomato and some people say sandalphon. So I guess I'm just, I want to make sure that we have the idea of the background of this, why we're doing this. We're not going to suddenly become, you know, kind of like, I don't know, angel types, because that's just not who we are. We don't work that way. But we do work with invocation, and we do work with energetics and those tones. This is a chance, as expressed, I think, very clearly in Chapter 14 here by E.J. Gold, that there's a lot of opportunity here for us. And we're going to take a shot at it.
David,
go ahead, Harry.
I found the table of correspondences for perfumes, if you're interested.
Oh, nice.
I can't send
them. You just have to give me one that of Sephiroth, and I could tell you Aleister Crowley's perceptions of it.
How about Netzach?
Netzach. And that would be benzoin, rose, or red sandalwood.
What about for next week for sandalphon?
Sandalphon, that would be 10. That would be Dittany of Crete.
Harry, can you repeat 7?
Susan asks if you can read 7.
For 7, if that's benzoin, rose, or red sandal. I think
Thank
that's
you.
Red sandalwood. At least these are the correspondences that Aleister Crowley produced, for what that's worth.
Aleister Crowley.
Well, I was struck in my studies how there's a lot of difference between what, you know, people are saying about different angels, and it depends on who you study, really. Did you find that, Harry?
You know, the tables of correspondences vary so much through the centuries and on the books and dictionaries of angels that I've looked at, that I think a lot of it has to do with the state of mind and our intention that we bring to it and how we perceive the interaction with these angelic beings. I don't think there's any way to eliminate that really successfully. So I think all these correspondences have a strong subjective element no matter what we do. And I think that's this, you know, the way it is. The literature reflects it, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
I sort of have been working with reading about herbs and their medicinal properties over the years. I find it very fascinating, and I always run into that same thing. Well, one source says it's good for something, and another source says it's good for something else. If somebody had use of it and it worked for them at one time, what I've always done is just kind of put it to the back of my mind and said, okay, well, there's a possibility now. If it, I have to do further work with that and see if there's a correspondence within myself that draws to that if it's needed for a particular thing. So if somebody's had found that they could contact a particular angel by using a particular scent,
right.
And that scent is something that you have a correspondence to, well, maybe that's the connection you need. But
that's exactly right.
But if it doesn't work for you,
yes.
Then knock it out.
I agree. I think that's very sensible.
What we're talking about here is working from our own inner sense of it, not starting from the outer sense of it. We're not looking to someone to tell us what to do. Like you gather this, and someone says this, someone says this, someone says this, and in between, suddenly, boom, you hit on this. For you. What works for you as an individual? What works for your choir?
David, may I answer a question that Tamara asked online?
Sure.
She asked, what is the incense for Raphael? And I looked here at this table, and depending upon which Sephiroth you attribute to the angel, most writers attribute Hode to it. We were somewhat preferred Tiphereth, but if you attach Tiphereth to that particular angel or draw that relationship, well, then it would be for Raphael, then the perfume would be Olibanum, and if it's Hode, it would be Storax, and I have no idea what that is.
Storax, I know.
That's very helpful.
Tamara is saying she understands that explanation that you just gave, and it made a lot of sense, and she does those words that you said. So that was helpful for her.
Good.
So in the week preceding, before your presentation, bring up, maybe you'd have like an instruction sheet for individuals. If you can get this scent, if you can get this color, if you can get this, so on and so forth. And then, you know, because maybe they're going to go look up some of these different incenses and have them working with them in their space. And you get to, you know, you get to like get ready for Raphael. Here he comes. Get ready for Sandalphon.
And couldn't you set up an altar there that you could flash over with the camera?
Well, that's a good idea. We'll give it let's try it.
Like, yes, if we knew the correspondences that you guys wanted to work with, I think that's a great idea. I mean, we could have like a particular color color tablecloth. You know, we could have particular flowers. We could ring a bell. We need to do that.
So we can turn the camera on that particular altar,
mm-hmm.
and that will be part of what the offering from that particular choir
is. You could have someone standing there spritzing perfume samples.
Yeah. Well, that means we're going to have to install that on the camera.
Yeah.
We'll try to get, we'll
have
get
to
it in there.
Smell it on here.
Yeah, the smell.
Smell it
through your computer.
Dan's saying something here. He just...
Odd.
He finds it odd that he sees that Hod and Tifereth seem to get switched for the angels.
Yes, that's our problem, too.
It's the same thing in the... He was saying the days of the week, Monday and Wednesday, what are you saying?
Yes.
Sunday.
Sunday, Wednesday.
Sunday and Wednesday.
Sunday or Wednesday.
So Tamara is saying that she ran across a reference that showed that Michael and Raphael had a working relationship. They had they had work together to do.
There's bleed through.
Maybe they sub for each other.
They sub for each other.
They sub for each other, but there's bleed through, don't forget.
Mm-hmm.
It's not this or that. I mean, there will be bleed through between the various efforts, and the vibratory force of a particular angel will come through differently.
Well, I'm sure the other angels have their backs, so.
That's exactly right.
Well said, Abby.
So one of the things that we're interested in is, of course, doing the presentations, but it's also important to note what your sensation of it is. And you can put that on the website if you want. You can go, Haniel, here's what happened with me when we did Haniel. Oh, Raphael, here's what happened with me when we did that. Sandalphon, here's what happened with me. Because don't forget, then others get a chance to go read that. So you're posting something along the path for a fellow user. All right.
A signpost.
A signpost.
Couple more comments.
Go ahead, Susan.
So Pip said, David, I suggest a candle because no matter where you are or no matter what, a candle vibrates at the same vibration. And when the reading comes, then everyone is united, if only at a lower vibrational level.
Perfect. Well, that's a great beginning, is the point. Even the act, even the act of lighting the candle is the beginning of the invocation. Thank you, Pip. Go ahead.
And he goes on to say, begin at lighting a candle and unite as a group, then you move to a higher vibration.
Perfect. All those are available to each choir. Each choir can offer that up as to the methodology they would like to give. Pip is... She's telling us something that's fundamental and very easy to access if we do it. It's a great idea.
Path World says, did you know that each line of the Lord's Prayer fits each Sephiroth? For
no.
example, Kether is our father, etc.
Daily bread.
I did not know that.
Wow. That's pretty good. Think about that. Wow. That's pretty interesting.
Each line of the Lord's Prayer fits each Sephiroth.
And Dan was saying that the part where it says, forgive us our trespasses, would be Hod.
Which is Michael.
Which would be Michael. Okay. Wow. That's something to think about.
So, that's what's happening. We're gathering other little pieces of data as we go along that how we can work with this. In a few weeks, there's also going to be some stuff that we'll be able to present about angels and other even more information and other opportunities for you. Okay, anything else, Susan?
Nope, looks...
Okay, so then that's it for this evening then. This is a little breather. Next week we'll have another presentation, as we will the following 2 weeks after that. So thanks again for coming tonight, and we'll look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. Good night.
Good night.
Night all.